So, es ist jetzt 9.30 Uhr. Ihr hört weiterhin Pi Radio auf der Frequenz 88.4 für Berlin und jetzt kommt Radio Sterni.
88.4
Pi Radio. Wieso denn? Was denn? Ein bisschen Rockmusik und ein bisschen Pille-Palle. Am Mikrofon sitzt jetzt ein Zwerg. Haha. Pi Radio. Was denn? Wieso denn? Damit du nicht mehr traurig bist. Ach so. Ja.
Guten Morgen, guten Morgen.
Oi, oi, oi.
Hallo, hier ist Radio Sterni, c'est jeudi, c'est Radio Sterni. Und heute machen wir eine Sendung auf Englisch. So today we are going to make the show in English because I have a guest. We are going to speak about the Ukrainian protests in Maidan. And we have an interview with a Ukrainian friend and we have a Ukrainian friend also as guest. Can you present yourself maybe?
Hello. Let's make a name for me as Taras.
So okay. Taras is today with us in the studio to speak about what is happening in Ukraine. And yeah, we will mix a little bit to make us an opinion or try to make us an opinion about what is happening there. And we'll also listen to an interview that I made with a friend of us who is in Kyiv right now and who was taking part in this protest the last days. And in between, we are going to listen some Ukrainian music that you choose. Taras, can you say a very short word about your music choice?
Yeah, first track was recorded right at the Maidan. When it was peaceful times, so it's a live piano playing and a lot of people singing Ukrainian song. And other four tracks, it will be music, experimental electronics music from the Kyiv underground. So
maybe we can start with this song that was recorded on the Maidan, and then we'll speak about what is happening there.
Yeah, okay, it's a little story behind this track. The man who is playing piano, he was actually a soldier a few years ago, and when the riot starts, he joined the protesters to protect the civil people from police, and there is a lot of such kind of soldiers at the Maidan. And he is actually very good in playing piano and singing, and he collected a crowd of people around him, and they were singing this great Ukrainian song.
So we can first listen to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it was sorry, wrong language. It was a song recorded by one of our friends on the Maidan place in Kyiv, where the protests are right now taking place.
Yeah, getting violent
and getting violent. But we'll be we'll maybe speak about this point a little later. I would like to ask you maybe. Can you explain us how it started, this protest, from your point of view, and when did you join it?
Yeah, of course. You know, there is several versions of how the protests started, but the first point, the first situation was that the government with Yanukovych as the head, they had this Euro way politics to, and by the time they go to the point to see a document, some economy document between European Union and Ukraine to make a first step to Euro integration. And they make a lot of, they advertise a lot about that they are going to join Europe and blah, blah, blah. And then at the last moment, everything changed and people just getting angry with this because they were just, it was no acceptable for a lot of people. And then there is a different versions. One of them said that Maidan starts with the Facebook or tweet, I don't remember, of a Ukrainian journalist Mustafa Nayem. He wrote it this message that says everybody goes to Maidan and let's change the situation and so on. Yeah, and another version is more fantastic. It says about that some student write in his Facebook that I don't know for you all, but I take my Ukrainian flag and I will go to Maidan to force against this decision of government because it's unacceptable for me. Yeah, but another version is that Maidan starts with some Ukrainian activists from a group that calls Democratic Alliance. But I think it was a mixed situation when every part of these guys and students and journalists, there was a lot of journalists there, and some Ukrainian groups, activists, they all get to Maidan and start their demonstration against the government of Yanukovych. And but actually they were not against the Yanukovych, they were against this decision to stop the Euro integration process. Yeah, and there was no politics for that time. Opposition leaders, they joined these protests later, and later they start to raise their flags with their symbols to make you know, advertise itself, and people refuse it. They didn't want to stand at the Maidan behind the flags of opposition because it was not a politician protest. And the politics were told to remove the flags. So this demonstration was just a civil protest. But even in the start, people have no trust to politicians. They didn't trust them. And opposition with its actions, they were really useless because they didn't make any change, and even in their politics area they can't do nothing, so people lose their trust to these leaders. Yeah, and then became the date of this document have to be signed. And it was not signed, actually. And there was a lot of people at Maidan, and when everybody knew that this document didn't sign, a big part of people was disappointed, and another part wanted to go in radical way, and another part, the third part, decided to stay peaceful and not to leave this place, to stay at the Maidan and to going on the protest. So they were only who left there, because the first two parts who was disappointed and lose their believing, and the second part who are going radical, they just leave this Maidan that evening. And that night Berkut come to
remove the protests.
Yeah, to remove the protesters. And
Berkut, it's like the name of the riot police in Ukraine.
Yeah, it's like a special special group of police, but they are not actually police. They didn't go at the streets to. They didn't sit in the offices. They just, it's just a powerful, you know, group to. I think they will make it really to beat the protesters to remove this.
Okay, and and so this night the police, like this riot police, attacked the place, and how many people have been there?
Oh, it was really a few people. I think not more than 100 or 200 people. They were just sleeping in the camps. We have an interview with one of the activists who was there at the Maidan that night, and he tell a story that Berkut, when they come and when he see the troops of Berkut, he saw that the shields that they have was not as usual, has not usual shape, and it was white and small. And then later he knows here that this was the shield not for defense but for attack. So these troops of Berkut that come to Maidan, they are going to attack. But I don't think they going to attack so violently. They, you know, they were. They thought, Berkut thought that they are masters, kind of masters, and we are all the people, we are slaves, and we need to be punished and to, you know, to just remove from. They wanted just to remove people from the Maidan, but they don't. They thought that people will leave. They don't. They were not ready for the struggle.
Okay, and after this this action of the police, like a lot of people came to the Maidan, because of the violence, or
yeah, of course, but not actually at the Maidan. It was another square. The next day, it was such a lot of people, that kind of crowd I have never seen before in Kyiv. And it takes place in another square, not far away from Maidan, because Maidan was blocked with police and kind of constructions for the New Year holidays. So people gathered at another square, and it was really, really a lot of people. They were angry, and cars. All over the city, they were riding all over the city and calling the people from the far districts to come for Maidan. And people started to organize themselves, because there was need for food, for tea. It was cold weather, and getting volunteer and preparing food, preparing sandwiches, and for some time in the evening the people there was so many people that road which were close to the square was full of them, and the cars have no ability to ride. So there was a need for people who will make a regulation on the roads, and there was no road police there because they just refused to take part in this.
So the people organized by themselves, like the street regulation.
Yeah, it was like a miracle.
From the protest.
Yeah, it was like a miracle because the distance between people becomes very, very close, very small. And you was able to get anything, tea, food, even clothes, or ask anything to stay in his place for night, because if you came from another town to support Maidan, you can stay in somewhere's place that at the people that you never know before. So it was like this.
Okay. So it's more or less how the protest started to be big, this Maidan protest. Maybe we can make a small break listening to some to the first piece of music that you choose. I have like something called Crunch. Can you say a word about that?
Yeah, it's electronic experimental musician from Kyiv. All these four artists, they makes a group that calls Teple Yabloko, and they make different, really different kind of music, but they are working together and making audiovisual performance. And Crunch, I'm not sure that I can tell you like a critic for his works, but let's listen.
Okay.
Goes dee-dum, dee-dum, dee-dum.
It's ugly.
Well, mine goes dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum, dee-dee-dum.
Yeah?
Higher, go higher.
Shit!
Thank you.
Yes, we are still listening to this music from Crunch, and we'll speak a little more with this in background. And yeah, you wanted maybe to say, oh, you started, oh, you joined this movement.
Yeah, I joined Maidan from the very start, and the point is that I've never interested in politics before. I didn't know about Euro integration and all this stuff, and I was told about that by my colleagues at work in the same day that the protest starts. And then I saw, after fighting with police and all this happens, I realized suddenly what is going on really in our country. And I understand it, what will be Ukraine like if in the future, if we stop protests and Yanukovych will win, because you know, it's kind of mafia. But the point is that I was not interested in politics and I didn't know about anything. But now I'm deeply, you know, deeply in this team.
Okay, but what did really like shock you when you joined the protest, like the brutality of the police, or?
Yeah, no one expected that police will go so violent, because actually, that protesters they were not. You know, it was a legal protest. They have no right to remove them away. There was no reason to remove them. They were just staying at the square. They don't block the roads. They just have camps and sleeping, and they have flames in the big boxes, containers. That's all. When this happened, everybody was shocked. That's why the next day it was around, I think, 500,000 or even more people came out from their houses and making struggle.
Okay, and maybe my next question would be, because here in the big medias we heard a lot, like it's pro-European demonstrators and Euro-Maidan, and things like that, and I must say, like in my political opinion and environment, the European Union is not a reason to make a revolution or against it, maybe, but it's quite strange to see like people really taking weapons to join the European Union. So I would like to know, do you think, is it the main ground, like the people really want to join the European Union and this free market, or is it something else behind it?
Yeah, of course it's something else. Because it started with this name Euromaidan, because it was this aim to go on the way to European Union. But then when the people make violence, the main point became the fighting for our country. So now it's different. Now the Maidan now is definitely different. People, we are fighting for our country because our country is owned by mafia of Yanukovych, and they have a lot of power. It's too much power for one person. So the point is that we want to change the political system, not to concentrate all the power on the president, but to make some, more democratic. This system have to be more democratic, because in another case we have no any future in this country. Everybody understands that, and so people have no space to go back. They can only struggle because there's nothing to left like this. And yeah, there is a lot of dreams about European Union. There were a lot of dreams, but now, and even now, not everyone understands really what is Europe and what is European Union and what was this document about and so on. But a lot of people understand exactly what the fuck is Russia, and they are afraid of it. I'm sorry for this. It's okay for...
Yeah, no problem. I understand.
Yeah, so now European Union is not a question. And a lot of people at Maidan, they doesn't have this sweet dreams of European Union. They understand clearly that now the point is to get our country off the hands of this mafia, because they're going to make slaves of all of us. And let's say it's a war between two different lifestyle, because I cannot say that this it's two generations, but there is a two kind of people in Ukraine. We are now clearly see this. One kind of lifestyle is kind of post-Soviet thinking, and a lot of people in police and actually Berkut also, they thinking really in the Russian style of living. They think about the president as a king, and everybody have to do what he wants, and those who are making protests, those are terrorists, and they have to be destroyed. And another kind of people is has a new style of, you know, of seeing things and new kind of ideals. Let's say it's a Western lifestyle thinking. And this is the conflict, actually, because there is a lot of young people on the other side that protest against the Maidan. Yes, they were paid by government to making this protest, but they actually have in their mind that they are against Europe, against USA, against everything, but they can't explain why they against, they just against.
Okay. I had because this morning I made an interview with our friend Alex, and I have a part where he explains a little bit who is taking part of this protest, and I asked him about what we hear that there is let's say it's neo-Nazi groups or right radical groups taking part, but it's a little bit long, so do you want to speak about it, or... Or do you prefer that we are Alex?
As you wish. I can say I can't name you the numbers, because there is really we can find in the internet really the percentage of different classes that exist at Maidan, but there is a lot of different people from the countryside and from the capital and from the big cities, and students and artists and...
Okay, I think maybe to before thinking about that, we can maybe listen to another music of your friends. It's Desert Tape. Do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, it's a kind of electronics duet of the married people. They recently they had a birthday of their baby, so and again I can critics, because I'm not so deep in musician genres, and
so yeah, we just listen to it.
Okay.
So we are still listening to teaser tape, and I wanted to ask you a little bit because yesterday when I prepared the show, I was looking for some articles and to find different opinions about what is happening, because I really don't have a fixed opinion on that. It's I think quite a difficult topic, and I found some articles explaining that maybe this protest is manipulated by USA or European Union, because they want to have this agreement with Ukraine because it's opening a big market, for example, for European Union's multinational companies, and for USA it could be like a very nice to put like a NATO basis in Ukraine, to be really at the border with Russia, and to remove a little bit this access to the Black Sea for Russia. And so do you think it's like a topic for people protesting, like looking if they're manipulated by some big powers outside, or is it did you thought a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's definitely some politics behind this situation, but I'm almost sure that they have no control now for the protesters, because there is no actually a leader who can say anything to the citizens, and the citizens will do this. Everybody has his own head and has his own ideas, and they are together just because they are thinking similar. And yeah, of course, it's a lot of interest in Ukraine from Russia, and that's why there is a lot of interest in Ukraine, I think, from the European Union and USA. And yeah, maybe it will be a big it will be a big word, but maybe we can say that it's a third it's like a, you know, war from between the west and east side of the planet for this piece of territory, and no one wants to give up.
Yeah, in one article that I read yesterday, it was described as the low warm war, like it's between the Cold War and the I'm really not sure about what to think about the people who wrote this article, because there was a lot of things that disturbed me. But I must say that with this topic that this radical right is really active in this protest, I was having a little bit of problem to just like say, oh yes, I'm supporting this protest, because it's looks strange to me. And maybe we can listen to our friend Alex, who made the interview with me this morning, and he spoke a little bit about who is taking part in this protest and about this radical right movement in it and his role. It's quite long. Maybe we'll just cut it in the middle and speak further, and the whole interview will be online on our website, radiosterni.qsdf.org. Later, so we can start to listen to him and maybe cut him.
Can I ask you who is taking part in this protest, and if the people taking part have really different reasons, or if they are quite united about the reasons? And one side question is that here in Germany we heard a lot about the radical right being part of this protest and quite good organized and taking important part in this movement. And is there any fear that if the revolution is really kicking out the president, that this far radical right could manage like to take the power, and so that this dream of freedom is just going to be broken by some fascists taking power.
Okay, about the people who are taking part in this thing, you go there and you meet people from peasant and old age pensioner to deputies to scientists to anybody. So you have lots of different people involved. Mainly the people that I spoke with, the normal people, the citizens, they're not violent. But yes, there is the right sector. It's called right sector. They organized in January because what happened in late December. So there were protests going on, and it was like hundreds of thousands of people would come on Sundays, and lots of people, huge amounts of people, and the opposition, they tried to take it over and use it for their own purpose, I believe. And people, they were not happy. Like, for example, I'm against everybody. I don't support this opposition because there is no good leader. You have to be, you know, there is no a program behind it. They just talk. So lots of people like me, they don't really support this opposition thing. And in December, there were a lot of unhappy people talking about opposition, not doing anything, and trying to get some trade-offs for themselves with the government. And then the right sector came into the game early January. Mainly these people, normally they're the right sector. So they created the right sector. The name of the organization is the right sector. And the guy who is leading it, Dmitry Yarosh, he's an experienced extremist. His whole life has been leading or being in such an organizations since 90s. So they have created a body, an organism, which reunited all, because you have different right-wing organizations in the protests, including ultras, including nationalists, everybody. So they created an organism who reunited all these little right-wing organizations. And when you have this, during the crisis, you have more right-wing people. You know, people start giving their sympathies to the right wing, like we saw this in France. In the bad times, everybody starts blaming foreigners, whoever, Jews, I don't know, gays, I don't know who. So this, the right wing, they made this body. I think there are about 2,000 of them. I heard this figure from different sources. It's not a really huge amount. If we talk about the protesters, probably millions have visited Maidan during these protests. So we're talking about maybe 2,000, I don't know. And they started to manipulate, I'm not sure if it's the right word, to manipulate the opposition. Because the opposition, they would work here, work there, talk, you know, and Yanukovych wouldn't take them seriously. You know, people wouldn't take them seriously. And then suddenly, the right sector started to do some action. So people, they were happy. They were ready for the action. And in January, after the usual meeting between usual talks between the opposition and the government, somebody said, yeah, let's go to this parliament building, let's go and strike there. But at this point, you have to understand that the whole city center, lots of little streets are blocked with the police and different types of police, so you can't really just walk there, because nobody can walk there, because they restricted the movement on the street near the parliament building. So people, a few thousands of them, I'd say five to maybe seven, they came to they started walking towards the parliament building, and yes, there was police standing there saying, yeah, sorry, we can't let you in because we have the order to restrict access to this area. And then the right wing came out. During this talks, Klitschko, this the one of the opposition leaders, he came out and he tried to stop people. There were a lot of people trying to say, yeah, go back, don't attack the police. But then the right wing came out and they just attacked the police. And the whole thing unfolded into 1 week clash between the police and the right wing. And obviously, if you have they're well organized, there are groups, there are, I'd say it's an, if you look at it from the legal point of view, it's an illegal group of people organized and armed. But armed, I'm not sure if they have firearms. They definitely have all sorts of cold arms, all the sticks and things specially made for the attack, hooks and stuff like that. And also they do have some pistols that shoot with the rubber bullets or plastic bullets. So they started this attack and they just went mental on the police. And the police, you have to understand, the people who are standing there, they're just boys between 18 and 23, mainly 18-20s. So the front line was like young policemen who are not on the contract. Because here we have in Ukraine, you are obliged to go to the army. It was the last call this year. You have to go and serve your army service. So these people actually, the young Ukrainians who are serving the army duty. So they're standing there, and these guys attacking them, throwing Molotov stones and everything. And behind this, the right wing, there are thousands of normal people. So police is in a very complicated situation where you don't know really who is who. And at the same time, there was no order from the police forces to attack the Protestants. So the whole thing lasted for a week. There were two dead, at least. Obviously, I'm not saying that the police is very good, because if you go out from this context, from clash on the Grushevskaya Street, you will see that really bad things happen in the society. Like people go missing, people get shot, people got tortured. It's just the whole, it's a nightmare, you know, in the society as a whole. I don't know who is doing it. As I said, there is a media war going on, and I can't really tell you who is who, why this people doing this or that people. I know that people are being tortured, people are being beaten up, attacked, the cars are being burned down. So the opposition and says that's the pro-government troops of like gangs. There are gangs who operate in the city and in the Ukraine as a whole. Like armed people, I don't know, people would just attack pedestrians, who would attack cars at night, burn cars down. I think last night there were some cars burned down. And obviously the government would say, yeah, this is the Protestants who are doing it. But Protestants saying, yeah, we don't want to do it, it's not us. So it's very strange. Obviously, for the government is very, they're lying all the time, basically. But it's just to give you my idea, I do not support the right wing. But I look at it now as a necessary bed that has to happen or had to happen to go further with some talks or whatever. Because the government is really stupid. They would just hold tight to their chairs and wouldn't want to do anything. And I don't understand why. Either it's their own idea, it's a group of people who are trying to hold on to the power, or is there a geopolitical game behind it? So I can't tell you, because I don't know. So this right wing, you were asking, yes, they attacked, and the crowd was really happy, really excited. And me and my friend, we also took little part in the thing, because, you know, when you're there, it's very tempting to hit a policeman, and people are really... Because you have the right wing, but you also have the people, I tell them, it's romanticism, you know, when people would like to go and hit a policeman. Because after this government policies, police is standing behind, between the people, the crowd, and the government. So everybody hates the government. Everybody hates the president. Only his team and family probably love him, I don't know, but no matter who you talk to, people will be really angry at all this. So the police has become an enemy of people. And now, you know, everybody sees the enemies in the police, their enemies. Although amongst these enemies, you get, as I said, the same Ukrainians who are serving their military service in the age of 18-20. And that's really sad.
So the interview we heard, like, it's a very small part of the interview. The whole interview is 1 hour. I made this morning with Alex. And so the whole interview will be online on our website, radiosterni.qsdf.org, because we don't have the time to put everything. And I think it's a quite complex situation in Ukraine right now. So, but it was an explanation about, why... How this radical right managed to took an important part in the protest by being actively violent against the police, and that a lot of people were waiting for that, like for people fighting against the police, and it was it was the only group like who managed to do that, and it's sad from my opinion that it's a radical right movement doing that, but it's not a position, it's more I think a fact and analysis. When we read the newspaper here, it's quite complicated everything, and
it's a kind of informational war. Especially in Ukraine, there is a lot of news, and you know, in this kind of situation, you have everything goes very simple. This is black and this is white. This is bad and this is good. And it's hard to have the clear mind and to realize what's really going on.
Yeah, I see that we have 1 minute more for this show. I don't know, do you want to say a short thing more about this topic?
Okay, short thing is thanks for listening, sorry for my English, and support us. I don't know how can you do it, but we really need some support in Ukraine. And glory to Ukraine, Slava Ukraini.
Okay, so this was Radio Sterni on P Radio, this time in English. Our show, you can find it on our website, radiosterni.qsdf.org, in a few days maybe. And you can let comments on piradio.de if you liked it or if you didn't like it. And thank you, P Radio, and see you in 4 weeks. And what we are listening is Port and Music Rack.